And it's like, why play small when you can play big? You know, you're playing small is no, you know, is not a gift to the world, as Nelson Mandela probably put it. It's to go out there and really make a big splash in the ocean.
This is the Cracking Creativity Podcast, episode number 37 with Tim Noxens. Welcome to the Cracking Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Chung. And I'm here to show you how creatives turn their ideas into action, create interesting projects, and build an engaged audience through shared passions. And let's get creative. On this episode of the Cracking Creativity Podcast, I talked to Tim Noxens, a.k.a. Timitude, who is the creator of CreativeMondays.net and the co-host of the Middle of Nowhere show. In it, Tim talks about how to enable others, seeking what you want out of life, and reaching your full potential. Now on to the episode. Welcome to another episode of Cracking Creativity. Today I have on Tim Noxens, and he is the host, I guess you could say, of Creative Mondays, a platform where creatives can tell their story. He is also the co-host of the Middle of Nowhere show with Janice, a former guest of the show. And he also writes on Timitude, his thoughts about different subjects. Tim, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and some of the stuff that you do?
Kevin, thank you again, really, for having me. I know that, and I'd like to shout out to Janice for recommending that I should be on this platform. I must say, just at the outset, that I have a lot of respect and deep appreciation for your work, especially for the creative community, because that's an area where we connect. Personally, as I would introduce myself, actually last year I tried to kind of craft, some sort of sense of identity. And I think the commonality between all the things that I do is what I summed up as into one word. I had to kind of invent it or reinvent, I don't know. And it was the word enablepreneur, which is my role is to enable others, whether in a coaching sense or, championing creativity or as well in terms of what I'm doing on Creative Mondays and other things which I do outside, which is on consulting. So it's actually the thread that unites all that is that it's all about enablement. And that's how I see myself, if I would introduce myself in such a brief way. In terms of me co-hosting this, founding the other, I find those to be roles that I play at a certain point in time. But I think the fabric is that across the board, I'm there to enable potential. I'm there to enable talent. I'm there to enable people to function to their maximum potential.
So which one of these endeavors did you start with first?
Timitude.com actually is the beginning point. And the genesis of it was we had Janice also happens to be my coach. I hope I'm allowed to say that. Yeah, and I think it started from a point of frustration, and it's also actually just, where you feel, I was feeling that I had lost it, because I think for the longest time I knew that I had one gift. I think it gets scary when you feel that one gift is lost, or probably you think that you don't have it anymore, and that gift is actually writing. And so what happened is that it was just a series of things, a lot of unhappiness and dissatisfaction here. Nothing really fundamental that was broken, but it was really a sense of there's more. And the realization that there was something intrinsic in me that could be offered out there to serve the world or, to speak to a cause or, as my unique voice. And I knew what that was, which was around writing. But yet I was not really able to do that in any form or shape. And there were other, you know, passions and things that I, you know, that I cared about. But and for, again, it just came down to that I was not really practicing what I thought, you know, writers write. I mean, that's as simple as is. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're not writing, then, you know, I think probably you're a politician or something. If you're not painting and you're a painter, then you're misaligned with your calling and your core purpose and mission. And so coaching came to my aid. And that's how I interacted with Janice, I mean, through the community she was running at the time. And that's how she became my coach. And, we, you know, the fundamental question was around, what's the one thing that I could do that could be the centerpiece of everything else, meaning that could unite everything else that I was trying to achieve at the time. It was a bunch of goals and intentions that I had. And I think the genius actually that came was a surprise, and that was how timichi.com was born, because it allowed me to almost chronicle my life, share my experiences, build a network, a community around that. I think subsequent to that, Creative Mondays was born, and it was really more of just something that was mentioned. I mentioned, I'm thinking, you know, if I could have one day in a week and that would be dedicated to creativity and probably just call it Creative Mondays. And that's where the whole thing started. Yeah.
Interesting. What was your upbringing like? Was it something where creativity was encouraged? Or what was your background and how did you get into this creative space?
I must say that probably my upbringing played a big role, not really directly, but it was in principle. I think I had a lot of carte blanche, you know. My parents gave me a lot of leeway. They believed in me from the outset. We never really had so many talks where they were telling me what to do and how to do it. Just, you know, from a very early age, you know, I was entrusted with responsibility, and they believed that whatever I did, I could do well, or if not, I could find my way around it. And I remember, I mean, both my parents are now passed on. I mean, it's been a couple of years. I think it's like 10 plus years for my dad. I think 5 plus for my mom. And I'm a firstborn in our family, so a family of 4. And so what happened was, I remember a letter that my dad sent me. I think I was in college at the time, and it was around, I think I told him, I went home and I said, oh, you know, Dad, I did very well. Or did I send him a letter or something like that? And he wrote back, and probably those are among the few letters that I, you know, that he ever wrote to me. And it was like, you know, son, I always knew you could do it. And I think there's really no greater validation. And I think that's probably, you know, is the genesis of my confidence in the ability to help others, but also in terms of self leadership. So that's really, really made a big impact. And along the way, I've had people who've trusted me and believed in me and kind of gave me space and room to really be, you know. And I think that's the cornerstone of any creative endeavor. The space and the we are with just to be, you know, and because it's from who we are that that everything else flows out of.
Hmm. What was your first creative project that you took on? Was it Timitude, or was it something that you've done before that?
That's a good question. Pretty, I think I have very short memory generally. I'm less of a historian. I remember earlier today, and my wife was telling me about how I was very annoyed one day and things like that. And I said, when was that? I can't remember. So, that was like, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. So probably in recent memory, it's timitude.com, which is still a point of passion, because, you know, if you look at on my profile, I think I still have it. It's Tim with attitude. You know, it's just like wordplay. You know, the tagline is actually living with attitude. It's almost like you kind of want to rough up people as you go along. So timitude.com probably would be my first, you know, flagship creative project. I mean, I've had others in the past, but again, memory fails me sort of.
What does it mean to live a life of attitude?
It's really to feel free to express that which comes to you, or to be authentic to your creative voice, you know. So it's almost saying, whatever comes, just let it be and put it out there. And for the longest time, for example, I mean, I wrote lots of poetry and things, but I was afraid what other people would think in terms of if they saw it or if they read it. So it was almost like myself giving myself permission to say, you know, live with attitude, go out there and do. And in fact, I mean, the whole idea of Timitude was to have an entity. And in fact, I mean, Timitude and I are two totally different people. I mean, Tim Noxins is this other professional person and nice, and you know, would behave in a certain way. They would probably almost fit in a box. But Timitude.com, or Timitude, actually, it's not Timitude.com, it's actually Timitude, can say whatever they want to say, and you can't judge them or attack them, because whatever they say is what they felt is needed to be said, and that's it. So, yeah.
And this is a platform for people that you invite to write on it, or is it? How do you become a writer on your site?
It's actually an interesting, and thanks for asking that question, because it started out as me trying to express what I, you know, my thoughts and, you know, ideas. And along the way, I think at the beginning of this year, or towards the end of last year, is when I thought, you know, I think let it be about the voice. You know, others who would want to express their, you know, themselves, have a message, you know, and it's all about inspiration powered by your authentic self-expression. You know, that's the longer tagline. So whoever has, you know, a message to inspire the world in whichever format and way, that's, you know, that's probably a simple, you know, a criteria that is used to get, you know, people on the platform. So Camille, for example, who I think interviewed you, was the co-hosting the podcast when you were on the Middle of Norway show, is one of the contributors. And then I have, I think, three or four more. Before, I used to, you know, kind of have people who would contribute and on and off. But I thought I'd rather provide a platform for a 12-month period where I would nurture them, mentor them, and help them to grow, kind of almost build a brand around themselves. And of course, I mean, you know, hopefully continue to grow and continue to be that voice, even in a bigger way, you know, publish books, you know, have their own platforms, be a little bit, you know, engage more on social media and the like. So that's the vision probably, you know, behind, you know, what I'm doing at Timitude.com as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Why do you think people are afraid to express themselves or give themselves permission to create in the way that they want to?
I think there are so many reasons for that. Probably I'll speak from my lens. And for me, it was around that, you know, separating the person and the character, or, you know, the voice, you know, what are the issues? What is it that you want to say? And sometimes there's a difference between that which you want to say and who you are, you know, and your values and the things that you've learned along the way and what's right and what's wrong. But if you have a voice that can speak something and it's not really tied to your values and what you grew up with and what you feel is right and, you know, what probably your culture taught you and all these other things, then it gives you more scope and also a sense of really letting go of self-judgment, because many people, and even for me, I was very critical, very self-critical, and I, you know, it almost killed me from just, you know, expressing what I felt and what I knew to be true or that needed to be expressed. So I think there are so many reasons, but I think the big ones is around, you know, what I just mentioned. Yeah.
Are you currently in South Africa? Because I know you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm based in South Africa. Yeah.
Because I don't know if people can tell by, like, your accent or whatever. But how do you get in contact with people in the U.S. when you're based in South Africa? Like Janice, for instance,
when
you had her as your life coach as opposed to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I think we are, it's all in the mind, how we see the world. And I think technology has really flattened, I think it's Friedman who writes about the world is flat and talks about how globalization and technology has really changed everything, including the pace of how we engage and communications and all these other things. And I'm also, a geek by background. My core training is in IT. I've pursued that to the highest level. I mean, not PhD yet, but, I have a master's degree with, in IT and all that, which I don't know what it serves me, but anyway, it's just out there. I rarely talk about it. But technology is in such a, help. But probably before I get to the technology aspect, it's really more about vision, and it's also about desire. So I think in this season where I was feeling that there was more, was a resolution to just reach out. And it's a global mission that is yet to end. And my mission is I want to know at least one person in every city around the world, both, that's on a relational level. And then as well, the whole Creative Mondays idea is a movement, which is about creatives, whatever they are, giving them a platform where they can express themselves. So probably that's the broad, thinking around, that drives what I do via Creative Mondays or any of these other platforms. So I see, the world as just like within my yard, within the space I live in every day. And it's, I don't know what I could do without, because the thing I discovered, and I think, I'm sure you would attest to this as well, is that sometimes the people who we share the same DNA might be oceans apart, but yet because of our commonality in interest, for example, I don't know even which city you sit in, but we are so connected that you could just be like, I've known you all my life. And then the people who we think, who are physically accessible to us may actually be worlds apart from us because we don't have as much common ground within the areas of our passion. Of course, we may have common ground in other topics that may not necessarily be priority for us.
Gotcha. So how did you choose Janice as the person to be your coach?
It was easy because a contrast is it really helps in choosing. I think when you go to a restaurant and then you have a bad experience and then you go to the next one, it makes the one before the new one that you have that is better, it now becomes a preferred choice. Now, horrible analogy. I think that's not even fair for my choice of Janice. I think the precursor was I had reached out. And then, as it was, I think we connected via LinkedIn. And before that, there was somebody who I think was also, I think she put out a post, we connected. But even before that, I was engaging on LinkedIn, sending questions and answering them around coaching in coaching groups and the likes. And I met a lady who had just done coaching, I think somewhere in New Zealand or whatever. And then I said, she was offering complimentary sessions or whatever. And then I sent, okay, I'm interested. And then she sent me an email with a form which I needed to fill. And then I answered no for all of the categories, including family, finance, and all these other bits. And then she replied and said, I don't think you need coaching. And I was very, very taken aback by that, because the truth is I needed coaching, but not in a boxed way, like you fill a form. My life cannot be summarized into just a form. And then when I interacted with Janice, she was very gracious. I think those are the words I'll use. Very gracious. She had a form. She had, a process that she used. But she engaged with me I can't remember anybody in recent times who probably interacted with me in that sense. Because she listened to me, understood what I was looking for, took me through what the contracting part, and I really appreciated that. That was very unique. And after that, it was very easy to make the choice, and that's how our engagement and relationship began. And the fact that she was coaching me around, it kind of came to being, and she kind of partnered in terms of just holding intentions, which, like, for example, when I came up with this wild thing of, oh, Creative Mondays, which I didn't know even what that was anyway. But I was just putting it out there. And she said, yeah, I'm going to hold intention. And I think there's something about when somebody creates an accountability around a thought or an idea that you share, because immediately it ceases to be one idea, it becomes 100, because it's multiplied. Now you're responsible. It has to happen. And then I think down the line, the fact that the first tweets that I sent out, she would retweet and she was part of it, just completely pushed it over the edge. And that's how Creative Mondays was born. It's just simply a hashtag, by the way, it ran as a hashtag for a whole year on Twitter. And then after that, I just thought to put a website or a platform just to help consolidate its identity as well. So, yeah, I know that's a long answer. Hopefully it helps.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you guys started the Middle of Nowhere show. What was the – she talked about that a little bit. Well, I want to hear from your side. How did that come about?
It was about connection and conversation, because we would connect, and of course there was, I think our relationship began on a coaching level within a coaching community setup, where we interacted one-on-one, then she coached me and all that, and then we realized that we really enjoyed our time together, and it was easy, it was effortless, and we thought, and we would each leave very inspired and just ready for the week, and we thought, what if we would allow the world to just listen in on this conversation? What would happen? And that's how our Middle of Nowhere show began. If you look at the first few episodes, it's actually just the two of us just talking. And it's not really on any particular topic. Like, for example, last Sunday, we talk, the weather is changing, it's going to be spring, in a few days here, and the leaves are shedding and it's kind of getting warm and all these sorts of things. And then out of nowhere we're talking about politics and religion and all these taboo topics, and you feel safe. You're not really worried that the other person would shrink away or would judge you or would feel that that's not appropriate which really happens. I know in most platforms we tend to either have a script that we follow and things like that. So that's how Middle of Nowhere began.
What are some lessons that you've learned while doing your different projects like Creative Mondays and the Middle of Nowhere show and Timitude?
The power of partnership and collaboration. It's such an incredible force, because it takes that which an individual has and multiplies it by a factor of, 10, 100, it can go up. So, because otherwise you would just die with your idea. I mean, for her, I remember telling her, you are the voice of radio. And why? Because she has a really nice voice and, a beautiful accent. I mean, it's not. I mean, personally, I don't put myself up and out there. I'm first and foremost a writer. So my first point of expression is writing. And then secondly, speech. And, and she had a show before, which I think was running on Blog Talk Radio or something, and it was a tea time thing that you just do. And of course, along the way, what she had family, then she had to stop that. And then when we talked, and she told me about her passion, and I said, I'm actually happy to partner with you. Just the way she told me, I'm happy to partner with you, or I mean, to hold this in intention, and in this case, I said, I'm happy to partner with you, to support you, to get this out, because you're gifted in this area. And that's how we kind of, and we said, no, let's not overthink this thing. I think the 23rd of March or whatever it was, we're going to start this thing. And we just went on, she had the, she has a platform where she records via, I think it's join.conference, and we got started just like that. And she's really the main anchor, if you look at it that way, because, she's done this. It's her passion and things like that. And I've seen so many other things, good things happen just through the power of partnership. And that probably is the big one for me. The other one is obviously creating accountability through sharing. And that's how, my expressions and now the expressions of others are reaching out to the world. Because you create it, you have some thoughts, put it together, put it on a website, share it on social media, let other people, give feedback, and you're not really too worried about it. Otherwise, you just really die with your expression within yourself, and the world would not be any better because you kept it to yourself.
Hmm. They have an expression where it's something like the greatest projects are found in the graveyard because people died without expressing themselves, something along those lines. And there's probably nothing more true than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when you started the Twitter hashtag Creative Mondays, what are some of the things that people tweeted out?
My memory. Help me, please. Because I actually don't remember what I put out at first. What it has now become is that it's actually a hashtag with a question every week. Now, that was not intentional. It was not even planned. because you know what happens on social media is people tend to self-promote. It's like, yeah, I have this product or follow me. And then I'm wondering, why would I want to follow you? What have you done for me? You know, I don't know who you are. You know, what value do you bring to me? So I can't remember exactly because, as I said, this started as me trying to find a day or room or create a space to just be creative or just to, you know, to for expression. And so it evolved from there quite quickly because what I would do every other Monday as my value add was I would write an article on creativity. I actually have a few episodes on creativity.com. I kind of took down the last batch of it because I thought probably, you know, I want Creative Mondays to be about me. I want it to be 100%. I actually don't generate any of that content. It's 100% community driven. And actually the long-term vision is to have it to be open source, you know, just open source creativity, have people, like have a community, you know, heads or whatever, a team that just kind of spearheads the whole project and then runs a hashtag and things like that. And the hashtag is not unique to what we do. For example, Creative Mondays, hashtag Creative Mondays is used by others as well. There's a lady, I think in the UK or something, who uses it. And for me, it's about the more people we have using it, the better. It's not really about exclusivity. And I would say I have the copyright to it. I'm really, really not bothered about copyright around it, other than really offering a service to others. So it has actually evolved. And now, as a given, every Monday, there's a question that goes out to the community on Twitter. And just asking on a topic, you know, like I think I was asking this past week around, there was censorship and creativity, the relationship, you know, that was quite interesting. It just kind of generated all sorts of feedback and all angles around it. And then there was money and creativity, which was last Monday. Very, very interesting insights. So I've avoided to, the idea is to probably to collect all those thoughts and publish them, but I have only done it in a few times. But hopefully I should be able to do more. And again, the whole idea is to give back value to the community and enable others to be creative.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How do other people find the hashtag? Is it just through word of mouth? Or what are people doing to get to that?
It's fairly random, I must say. And I've been thinking around that and saying, you know, maybe it's time to mature it because, I mean, we have quite a number of people. It's almost 300 now on the list. I don't get to all of them. Every other week. But there are those who really engage and kind of it's easier to pick out on them. And then randomly from time to time, I kind of make sure that I include the others as well, just to make sure that they, you know, they know what the hashtag is. I think I know within Twitter, even some of them, when I don't include them, they actually prompt me and say, oh, they actually respond. In fact, in some cases, they would ask me and say, oh, there's no Creative Mondays today. And I remember, I mean, there was some few holidays and I actually took a break and it's like, oh, there's no Creative Mondays today. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. So this thing means something to some people out there. So it creates a sense of accountability, which I think is wonderful. And so the way people find it is actually just hashtag Creative Mondays. There would be an archival of all what we've discussed in the past. Obviously, because of the volume of data, you'd find that you'll only find, you know, probably recent posts or top posts and the likes. And also generally, it will prompt you if you interact regularly or probably we follow each other and things like that. Yeah. But I hope, you know, to find a more sustainable solution, if I may use the politically correct terminologies, you know, sustainability. Anyway.
Hmm. I see here that you have a feature of the week. How do you choose who the feature will be?
It's actually I have an answer now. I think before this, if you had asked me, you know, 2 weeks ago, I would not. I follow my intuition. Before that, it was like, it's random. But the truth is actually not random, because there's energy that allows you to know that this person has a story. I mean, our upcoming feature, for example, is Gardener. Or I think he was, you know, he's an industrialist turned gardener. And he's in a farm somewhere, I think in Toronto, whatever. I mean, the whole story will come out on Monday. And I was just interacted with them, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I felt that there was something about them that the rest of the community would benefit from. And it's amazing. Amazing, the level of insight and the value that they bring on board. You know, a gentleman who I think I followed, when within a few minutes later I was saying, welcome to the community. And then, you know, he writes brilliant poetry. I think he's based in Uganda somewhere in this continent of Africa. So it's amazing, the diversity of talents. And, you know, we've had, you know, scientists featured, inventors and the like. So it's really just this diversity in fabric across the board in what you'd call, you know, the big space, white space called creativity. Because, I mean, sometimes we've limited creativity to just mean art. Or to mean, you know, music or a certain form of expression, which actually is not true. I mean, I know for a greater part we have lots of poets and writers and the likes, but the idea is to get people who are businessmen who are using their creativity. Whoever you are, we really do, you know, we're not too worried necessarily, as long as you have that DNA, creative DNA running within you.
I think that's a great point, because you can think of somebody from just about any industry and find the creativity within it. Like you said, scientists, farmers, like there's innovation happening everywhere. And by just narrowing in on a few select things, like most people think of painting and drawing and dance and whatever, you're limiting your creativity.
Absolutely.
So I think it's great that you're looking for people in every wake of life that there is.
Yeah.
Who is somebody that you found very interestingly using the hashtag, like a surprise, because you said there was a farmer, or was there anybody else that you thought, oh, I can't believe they actually found this thing?
It's quite a number of different people, actually, because as I said, you know, mostly you'd find your easy, you know, those who really benefit a lot, you know, through the poetry prompts and the like. So writers would probably, you know, be a big part of it. And then there was an architecture person who does architecture in Switzerland, I think. And you know, it was very insightful just to really hear from their point of view, because they do, you know, they're an architect and in from a very unlikely source, you know, because most of the interaction is actually very, a lot of our features, for example, so far are from the US. And again, it just goes without saying, I actually looked on the analytics on Twitter and I realized I have almost 60% followership from California. I've never been there. And it's like, okay, thank you, America. I feel the love, California. You know, but it's just because maybe, you know, that platform is used more in that part of the world, and probably, you know, it's easier to be able to find, you know, that a lot of the people who we interact with and who have been featured so far are from the US, and you know, with a sprinkling of Europe and Africa and, you know, other parts of the world as well. So it's really across the board. I mean, I had a lady from Germany, I think. She's created a doll, you know. So she's an inventor and, you know, she's also very excited about the whole idea of Creative Mondays. So it's really all sorts of people out there.
Cool. You said in the beginning that you were an enabler. Other than Creative Mondays, what are some ways that you help to enable people?
A lot of it is through coaching, because I think coaching is a very, very important component that I realized. And in fact, it's actually part of my success formula. And it's something that I would say to anyone that they should consider it as well. Because coaching, as I see it, allows you to get clear. It helps you to be clear on what your intentions are, on what your vision is, on what your values are, on what you really want. To be clear on that, and clarity is power. It helps you to be able to act on the thoughts and the ideas that you have. And for the longest time, for example, I mean, this idea of writing, this idea of helping others was just really an idea. It wasn't anything more than that. But mixed with coaching, it really, allowed me to be able to go out there and to do things. So as part of, for example, I mean, within my, what I call the Timitude Writers family, I have a very intimate small group that we communicate every week. They are the writers on the platform. And what I offer to them as a value is actually just coaching and mentorship to help them to really unlock their potential. So that's one way I enable people. Another one is around, the four words are actually connector, which is connecting people, getting people from different backgrounds who I know each, their strengths could be complementary, they could help each other, they could be able to partner. I've done a lot of that, mostly in person type, events and things. This past week I was at a motivational event. I met somebody, and most of the time I would just kind of round up people and, when you are on the sidelines having coffee, and I would just talk, and within those talks I'd be able to say, I think so and so, this person could actually easily connect to this other one, and there's value that could be created. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. Creativist, it speaks to what I do via Creative Mondays. Catalyst is, just enabling change without necessarily being consumed in the process as a catalyst, facilitating conversations. And I think, the Middle of Nowhere, for example, is one platform that allows me to do that. And of course, I have many other in-person engagements that allow me to do that, even including in my day-to-day work arena, where I just try to help people. To either broker conversations or challenge them in what their potential or what they can do, or just scoping out opportunities and things like that, solving problems. That's my consulting hat, probably. That's more, an additional part as well. So I see all these components as enabling components.
What are some of the discussions that you've had as a co-host of the Middle of Nowhere show? And then is there anything that you discussed and didn't realize you had any thoughts on, but when you started talking, it just came up?
Wow, that's a very good question. I like it because it makes me think. Because I think in the past few episodes, we've kind of found a direction and a niche, sort of, which is around creativity, that both of us are very passionate about creativity. I remember there was an episode which we talked about seasons. And it was a very, I almost called it, the fluffy stuff. It's really the fine. It's like when you feel linen, in your hands, how it feels, silk and cotton and wool and all. It's really this fine way. You're not talking about an extreme position. You're not talking about this is a yes or a no, or this is a black and a white or whatever. It's not the contrast is not obvious, but it's these shades of gray type of conversation where it allows for a lot of reflection. It allows a lot of your soul to express itself in very nuanced and fine ways of thinking. I thought I really enjoyed that because it was, I can't remember what the episode was, but it was sometime last year. I think it was around August or something. I can't remember exactly when that was. I probably would look on the platform, and if I do remember, I probably can mention before we are done with the episode. But I really enjoyed that. And the in-betweens, of course, we've had a lot of guests come on board. I think we had Diane, who spoke about boldness. Diane paradise, you know. And I thought that was, the way she put it was very, very, it just really drove the point home, because, I mean, she's going through treatment and, you know, cancer treatment and the likes. It's marrow or something. And I really admired her take on life, because it was not theory, it was not philosophical, it was really practical. And she was giving things which, you know, personally I felt was very, very impactful in that sense. So, yeah, there's quite, really, I could almost say I enjoy, and indeed I do enjoy every episode that we have. So I don't feel even that it's not like work that we do. It's really fun that we have every other week.
I think it's important that you find something that doesn't feel like work, because then you're not going to grow tired of it as quickly. I mean, everybody grows tired of something at some times, and then it takes a little bit of like rejuvenation or reflection to figure out how to make the change to make it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you find the people to bring on to the show?
We have, I think we've, from initially we had to kind of look around who we knew and what they were doing, whether it kind of aligned to what we're, you know, what the show was about, which is around showing up and expecting inspiration and inspiring others as such. And so, of course, we exhausted that layer quite quickly. So all our friends and the people we knew, we kind of quickly ran out of that. And maybe, you know, but personally, I don't claim to have a very long, you know, social or, you know, people who I know and, you know, went to school with them 20 years ago or 10 years ago. But again, my sense of history is not really great. And I go with those, I progress who are growing and moving forward. And my interactions tend to be, you know, sustained that way. So then I think Creative Mondays started now making input as well, because, I mean, the people who would have their story as featured, we just thought, it could be very interesting to just hear them speak. In fact, not just one, actually a bunch of them. That's what we call Creative Party. You know, have like three or four people who have interacted on Twitter, for example. They are part of one community, and just have them in one room, and you know, let's hear what they have, what their thoughts are. So that's one of the sources. In addition, as well to those who are in our networks that we've brought along the way over the past, and also I think we used themes along the way. I remember family was a theme, and you know, it allowed us to be able to filter and say, I think let's look for people who could speak to this topic as well. So, yeah, those probably are the two main ones.
Where do you see each of these different projects going? And do you think there's a way to merge them into a larger platform where it's they can interact with each other, people within those communities?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because when this began, Timitude, for example, looked like just, you know, this project that was running on its own. And then along the way came, you know, Creative Mondays, and it actually feeds back to Timitude. And then along the way, Middle of Nowhere, and that feeds now to Middle of Nowhere. And I think there's just a way that all of these are actually linked. And we've discussed with Janice about some few ideas where we think we would probably want to integrate all this. And because the whole idea is really just to offer value, more value to the communities and the people whom we serve and those whom we interact with. And really, I see all of them kind of being converged at some point. It may vary in terms of the format, but somehow that's happening slowly and surely. Yeah.
You said you were a writer. Is there any writing that you do other than for the Timitude site?
No. The funny thing, maybe, you know, I'm not so sure whether I should be using the line that I'm a writer, because when I redefined myself, I realized I was actually less of a writer. I was more of somebody who enabled others to express themselves, in as much as this was my core gift, which allows me to be relevant in the marketplace and things like that. Now, last year, I did an experiment. Was it last year or the year before? Yeah, last year. And I wrote every day for about 6 months, every day for timichu.com. Every day I would write. And not just once. I would actually write a bunch of things on that, but I would at least publish once. And it made me just take, you know, say, yeah, I think I can claim that I'm a writer because, yes, I am writing. And occasionally now, I write occasionally for timichu.com. I have a few projects which are more tended towards publishing books, which, you know, I have a few titles here and there. I have a bunch of quotes which I've kind of filed away. Those are the things which are not yet on the surface yet, but it's things which I'm doing bit by bit. Interestingly, I'm really less geared as such to try to prove my credentials as a writer as I am in trying to nurture and mentor others in the same spaces. My sense is that I'm very confident to the point that if I was to produce a book in the next month or so, I know I could easily do that. Because, I've kind of taken myself through the crucible of proving that I can write, and comfortably so, at length, if I choose to, on a certain topic. I mean, I did a dissertation last year, which I did in record time. You know, it's like 20,000 words, and I did that, I think, compiled the whole thing, I think, in 2 months, two and a half months, you know. So my capability to write is something that I find as a gift that I can use in the different circumstances that come before me. But it's really more just really as a tool and something that can allow me to help others and to reach out as well. And of course, express the thoughts and ideas that I have.
Have you been surprised by some of the stuff that people have done after interacting with you or the interactions that you've created through, like, introducing people to each other?
Absolutely. I've seen it. I mean, it's probably, there's actually nothing that beats that. You introduce two people together, and then the next thing, they're collaborating and just doing amazing things together. Or there's just a lot of value that has been unlocked as such. Last year, I went to a book writing event, and what happened is I rallied a bunch of guys all over the place, you know, and we went, I think it was about six or seven of us. And by the end of a 2-day workshop, all of us had a common sense of identity. And from there, we've had all sorts of interactions. One of them, I mean, you know, each of them, I know what they are doing. One is doing coaching, the other one is in construction, the other one is a family man and whatever. But we've connected ourselves and we've engaged and created a lot of value. And it's been amazing. Particularly, I mean, I have one of the writers who came on board, who I met at the time. She's founding a nonprofit. I've been interacting with her, and it's just amazing the level of how she's grown just within for the last 8 months. For example, she's writing two books in the background. She's running some events around town, and it's just amazing to see. That's really where my joy is, because I think the reason why I'm a bit impatient with, maybe I'm not too keen on writing, for example, is because you write and then you send it out there and you're not so sure what that will do. But you engage with somebody and then you see how they grow and you see what they are doing, and it's like, wow, this is amazing. So we have several groups that came as a result out of that. I have people who are pursuing projects and founding things, you know, including this nonprofit. And I've just seen generally, you know, across the board, partnerships and people reaching out to each other and being more open, including, for example, Camille, what she's doing. And, you know, even her, in terms of what she's doing in terms of co-hosting and all these other things, it's really just amazing to see all these things happen, because you interacted and engaged and connected, and a sense of, you know, people who are enabled to be... to go out there and use all the gifts that they have in them.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing, especially for creative people to do, because many people are just sitting around and waiting for stuff to happen to them, as opposed to going out and seeking new people to talk to, new information to digest, and things that can help them grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot, really. I don't know, because, as I said, back to what I mentioned earlier, that what probably enabled me to be creative and to choose this path, you know, maybe the danger as well by defining yourself by, you know, that I'm a creative, you know, person, it almost means that other people are not. So I'm careful sometimes, you know, on these titles and taglines and things, because they almost say, okay, I am this, and then the rest of you, sorry, you know. was the sense that I was trusted and entrusted, you know, by my parents, by those who were mentors to me, by people who I've worked with. And that's what I try as much as possible to give others, a sense of belief, a sense of confidence in themselves, a sense of, you know, belief that what they have has the power to change the world. And that's really what I tell people. I do this a lot, you know. It may seem, I'd write a note and say, and I probably had mentioned this to one of our features at Entirety, and if you're listening, I already nominated her for the Nobel Prize. So, essentially, because I really love the way she writes, she's brilliant, and it's like, why play small when you can play big? You know, you're playing small is no, you know, is not a gift to the world, as Nelson Mandela probably put it. It's to go out there and really make a big splash in the ocean, because that's really who you are born to be. So challenging people to live to their maximum potential. And I think hopefully I should write a book around that, or a bunch of books, just to articulate my thinking around this.
How does somebody go from the bottom, which is like the status quo, to making that dent in the world that allows them to achieve their maximum potential?
The shortest answer to that would be by looking at a man in the mirror and embracing that which you see, and letting, you know, and just really allowing yourself to be. It starts with, you know, self-belief. Looking and on the mirror and realizing that you are the one who is the answer. You are the one that the world is looking for. You are that expression that others are actually crying and dying for. Because whether it's issues of injustice or issues of inequality, or, you know, we talk about race relations and, you know, really beautiful terminology that we use. But it takes somebody to be able to really start to start a conversation on some of these topics, for example. It takes somebody for to be bold and offer leadership. So, and that person is actually the one you see in the mirror. So it's taking responsibility, believing in yourself, and then going out there and engaging with the world, because that's the only way you know. We can't know any other way. You know, we would sit, psychoanalyze, project, do a PowerPoint, strategize. But that's really neither here nor there, because it's not out there. And you would never know whether it's worth anything until you put it out there. I mean, I still say Creative Mondays is still in beta phase. It's still an experiment. It's not yet out of the lab, and probably should never be out of the lab, because we are testing this, we throw it against the wall, whatever works, we take it forward. Whatever doesn't work, we learn from it and we move forward. And we don't feel bad, you know, if something doesn't work, it's fine. We just kind of laugh it off and move forward. You know, just giving room as well to yourself to make mistakes and see them as lessons, learnings. Not taking it to heart and as a reflection of your character or your competence or capability, because I agree with, you know, I think it's you have it in your book around, you know, success is 99% attitude, 1% aptitude, and it's probably the 99% is actually just sweat, you know, keeping at it, commitment, pushing, you know, pushing the dial and until you get across. Because, you know, the perception, and I've had these questions put out, about creating on the back of inspiration or just creating despite inspiration. And we realize if you create despite inspiration, inspiration will kind of jump on the bandwagon anyway. But if you wait on it, it's very erratic sometimes. You could stay a whole 6 months waiting for inspiration, and it shows up at the most queer of moments. That's why I keep my Evernote next to me. You know, when I wake up and, you know, I'm in the morning or whatever, and it's like I'm getting all these brilliant thoughts, I capture them so that before they run away from me, because you never know when else that will show up again. You know?
Yeah, that's a great answer. It is important to, if you want to create something great, to create a habit of it, because otherwise...
Yeah.
It's definitely not going to come to you. If you ask any great person who has done anything, they will tell you to work on the thing that you're passionate about every day, or else nothing will come of it.
Absolutely. And the test of this actually was when I decided, I think on the 31st of 2013, this Twitter prompts that I was writing now, I need to post and I need to start blogging. And I started writing, I think on the 31st, and then I think on the 1st, and every other day for the next 6 months, I wrote every day. And it was so easy because in between breaks, you know, instead of going for a tea break, I'd write, you know, before I get to the office in the morning, I'd write. And it would take me literally 10, 15 minutes to do it. And I would do it on my phone. So I was not really bound anymore to sitting behind a computer and a typewriter as we know it, because that's the trauma as well that most writers have, because they have this picture where you sit in a corner somewhere, you have a typewriter. I mean, bless God, they are not there anymore, but I don't know why we have, even if you look at bloggers, some of them, they have a typewriter, and I'm thinking, Lord, no, we don't use typewriters anymore. We use, in fact, to be fair, we don't use laptops even anymore. We use our phones. We use pieces of paper. We use, you know, toilet paper. We use everything. You know, anything is a canvas to create. So, and I can be so messy. I mean, I would find, and I love white, plain white paper with no lines and nothing. And I have tons of them around me, because I'll just grab one, draw something, put some thoughts. But now, thanks to Evernote, I don't have to do that, because I mean, I'll also lose whatever I've written and then rework as well. So Evernote really saves me. Just plain blank white. I can write whatever I want. Throw as much paint on the canvas. You know? Yeah.
Definitely. I have a few questions left. The first is, do you have a morning routine? And if you do, what is it?
Just ask that again. Do I have
a morning routine? Something you do every morning, regardless of where you are.
I think in the recent, because we've had, you know, we've undergone a transition, a family transition recently, with a new baby and all that. So I think one of the things that I was very careful around this was to just give myself permission to just be available and just to be, and to let this phase of life kind of be without really trying to put anything. And what that did was I kind of just, you know, took things as they came, and most of the writing, for example, which I would do, has been done by the writers for TeamSheet.com, and of course for Creative Mondays. I mean, the creative community. What I've done consistently is engage with them. What I've done also fairly consistently is write my thoughts whenever they came. So I think I'm the kind of person who creates on the spur of the moment, and it's almost any time is creative time, and I allow it. So if I get some ideas right now, I'll write it. If I get it, you know, when I'm in the bus or whatever, I'll write it. There was a time when I used to fly out a lot and travel, and I found a lot of that morning time was really wonderful for inspiration. And I think I wrote a piece that said 10 places to find inspiration, and one of them was 30,000 feet above ground, because you're sitting in the clouds and you're looking down, and there's nothing else that comes to you other than you're just inspired. And I've written a bunch of things in different settings, in nature as well. So I try to leverage, I'd go for a walk. So what I try to do is routines. Taking a walk, for example, is a big one, because it's easily available, and it allows me always to have ideas. And then as well, I carry my phone with me and my Evernote, and I write whatever I have thoughts that come to me. And so I really don't. And also, I mean, I've in the past few months, I wouldn't say that I've really pushed myself to just create for the sake of creating. But those are the things that have worked for me. I mean, you know, there was this for the platform, and I, you know, the decision to write for it consistently, regardless of whatever I felt, which I have done. And there's also the bit of taking advantage of different occasions that allow me to be inspired, conversations with friends. And even, for example, right now, I feel that I could write a ton of things, you know. And that's just available because we just talked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's an interesting take, because most people will have that space in the morning. But if you take that space and expand it to the entire day,
yeah,
the possibilities are pretty much endless.
Yeah. Yeah, and I try to, on all my devices, I have Evernote, for example. So I'll write, I have, a subfolders and I don't know what they are called, notebooks. So I have, for example, one that I'm just doing quotes. I have, you know, where I'm writing for different areas. And then I just have a blank one, which does not have a category. I write anything that comes. And whether it's philosophy, politics, you know, social issues, whatever it is that comes, I'd always put just my thoughts there. And then, of course, one of the things that I intend to do now is engage a little bit more in thought leadership, you know, maybe through have some posts on SlideShare on a very specific focus topic. Maybe, of course, I'll start off with creativity as one of my favorites, and then technology and the likes, and begin to create just some really, really good content that enables others to probably examine their processes and things like that.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely am an advocate of Evernote too. I pretty much use it for every thought or idea I've ever had in recent memory, I guess.
Yeah. It's very helpful. Very, very helpful.
Are there any books or podcasts, movies, resources that you would recommend for people on the subject of creativity?
I think the first one I would say is, that because, I mean, in terms of books, you know, I really I don't have many titles. Gosh, I've not really been reading too many books in the recent past. But I think I'm trying to think of what books really would. Oh, it's actually on different topics. I'm not sure. I think Thinking for a Change is one of the books I read that I really thought I liked. It's by John Maxwell. 11 Ways to, you know, it talks about strategic thinking, creative thinking. It just talks all sorts of thinking, you know. I think that's one resource that I would easily recommend. I know Brené Brown, I've not read any of her books, but I've really enjoyed her talks. I think there's one that she just gave recently at the Global Leadership Summit in Willow Creek Conference that they do every year. And I thought she really had some very interesting thoughts and takes. So Brené Brown, generally, she has some really brilliant thoughts. I do enjoy Ken Robinson, of course, the episode on creativity, you know, that's a classic in itself. TED is a big platform that I think I would recommend anyone to. And, of course, your podcast, what you're doing, Middle of Nowhere show. I think we have also, I tend to really favor not the big names, but those underdogs, unknowns, because, like, I mean, for example, what you're doing on your platform is really, really amazing, because it speaks to creativity at the level where people are. It's not celebrity type of creativity, and it's not Hollywood type or mainstream. You know, we saw it in a movie. By the time we see it in a movie, I think it's a little bit too late. I think the fact that creativity is something we have within us and it's around us, it means that we need to engage more with the stories that, you know, of the ordinary people who are being creative in different ways and different spheres. And I think you're doing that very, very well. Mm-hmm. So definitely, of course, I'd put a big thumbs up as well on your platform. It's marketing your ad the right way.
Thanks.
Selling out, not selling out. I love it. And also, I love the way you've designed it, by the way. It's really nice. You know, it's very visible. I mean, they call it what's usability and...
Yeah.
And you know, to navigate around it is quite easy. And
well, that was a theme that I found and modified slightly, but I'm a web designer by trade, so that stuff comes easily to me.
I saw it. Wow. That's you know, and you do photography as well.
Yeah, I not professionally, but just, you know, for fun.
What's the most fascinating picture that you've taken and that you treasure the most, or that is just quirky and funny in character and just out of the box, that maybe not everyone would appreciate, but for you kind of speaks to you?
There's two shots I took in Washington, D.C. They both involve the color pink. One is a girl sitting on her dad's shoulders in somewhere, I don't know. And I isolated the pink from that, and it looks really cool.
Wow.
And the second is also, I went during the cherry blossom season, so I also isolated the pink from that photo and contrasted against gray backgrounds. They create some very interesting looks.
Wow. So I see you're quite big on color and contrasts and such.
Yeah.
Photography. Yeah. Wow. So why photography, if I may ask you? I know you should be the one asking me the question.
But, no, fine.
trust me, that this is coming at you. Why photography? What does it do for your soul? What does it do for you?
I like how it captures the moment. So if you look back at the photos that you take, it'll essentially transport you back in time to when you were in that place, and you can relive the memories as you remember them, because we won't remember exactly, regardless of how good our memory is.
Wow. I like that. I like that. So it's a standstill. It's a snapshot, you know, capturing a moment, which is not a small thing if you think of it, a moment captured.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
The next question is, who's somebody that you find extremely creative that you personally know, and then somebody that you don't know personally that is also creative?
Okay. I think I'll probably start from the one I don't know. And it's a lady who I saw her work recently on TED. She's actually appeared on TED about 3 or 4 times, which is remarkable. Her name is Sarah Jones. I don't know what her title. She claims to be a feminist and artist, and she's done some shows on Broadway, and she, you know, she can mimic, I think, five or so many different voices. She can sound British. She can sound ghetto. She can sound gangster or Jamaican or, you know, Oriental or whatever. And she's able to really put out, address different issues just by having all these voices. And I thought that was something really amazing and remarkable. And also, you know, she's just really enjoyable in terms of what she does and how she does it. So that's somebody who I've not met. Somebody I have met. This is a fairly tricky one, because I'll probably just kind of. I have a friend who is in real estate, and his ability to transform empty spaces into magnificent pieces of architecture is really unparalleled. You know, from very bland, you know, room age and space, he's able to really visualize and see the different possibilities and what can be done. For example, I mean, I've accompanied him in a few of his interactions and engagements in his day-to-day work, and it just amazes me his ability to be able to do that. And to make it even more interesting, he's a guy, you know. And most of the time, this is a space that I think women probably do so well in. But he does very, very well. He's somebody I know. His name is Lenny, a wonderful friend. Probably that's, you know, it's just really big picture thinking and the ability to be able to see detailed and all these other things, which I know we are told, I don't know, I don't necessarily believe it's true, is a domain that, you know, it belongs to the other gender.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I love that answer because, like we were alluding to earlier,
yeah,
that's not a place you would normally think of somebody as creative, but...
By
transforming a house or an apartment or a condo into a place where someone can imagine themselves living, if you can cater to the person that you're bringing in, you can sell that thing in like no second.
Absolutely. It's a big deal. It's a very fascinating space, actually, because, I mean, we've recently bought our own home and, you know, kind of had to do a bit of renovations and changes here and there. And I think there's just, you know, a bug that has bitten me around real estate and understanding how that works out. And I always say I'm totally clueless and hopeless in this. But, you know, sitting with somebody like Lenny, for example, you know, and you'd say, no, you can do this way and you can change it. And I'm thinking, yeah, how come I can never see that? How come I didn't see that? It's like, wow. And just not just me, maybe because of the fact that it's not really my area of strength. But I've had, I mean, in a setup where I had four or five people and sitting there and I introduce him as this person who can transform this. And within minutes, I mean, I've had ladies talk to him and he's able to engage them and describe to them. And it's like, wow. And each one of them has told me, you know, you have a very valuable friend here. And it's, yeah. Right, please. So, yeah, so it's just amazing, really, what is possible out there beyond what I mean, our areas of strength, you know, whether it's you're oriented and have a bent towards, or you know, pimping cars and the likes. It's just amazing what people can do, even in the most unlikely quarters.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
My last question is, what is your definition of creativity and what can people do to be more creative?
I think the one word that would be my definition is actually just freedom. And why freedom? It's actually it's all about the power to be. And I think deep within the human spirit, the deepest, among the deepest aspirations is that of freedom and the power to be, the power to self-determine. So I think to me creativity would be, you know, I would use freedom as a definition to say, giving yourself permission to be, and allowing yourself to create that which comes to your imagination. So again, it really may not, you know, be the scripted answer and whatever, but that's, you know, I see that as a very, very powerful factor. And maybe just one more thing around that. And this is really more, again, probably around my fundamental, you know, convictions and belief, which is that in each one of us is that ability to be creative, to come up with something out of nothing or out of different contrasting non-conjoined bits and pieces, come up with something totally different. And that is totally cool and amazing. And I think, you know, that would in itself be creative. So each one of us has it. So, and I think that probably would be the message out there that we are all creative. The only difference is, are you practicing it? That's the difference. If you're not doing it, then, you know, if something's not used, it just kind of gathers dust, rusts, and fades in the background. And over time, the bush grows there and It's as good as it never existed in the first place. But the truth is, all of us are creative.
Hmm. And what can people do to be creative?
Just say that again. I think I probably did it. I missed out a bit of it.
Oh, what can people do to be creative?
I think the first one is by, which I think could never be overemphasized, it's believing in themselves. The second one is actually creating, meaning if you're into gardening and you'd want to go, you know, put your expression out there, do it. Do it often, do it consistently, and then expose yourself to more ideas around the same sphere. And even in different spheres, we all know about the Mac and the fact that Steve Jobs did calligraphy. There's no relationship necessarily between the two, but yet one influenced the other in a big way. So I think even ideas which are totally, may totally be different, or may, you know, in terms of, I look at it in terms of dots, you'll only be able to connect the dots after the fact. But you can choose what dots you'll engage in, you know, what contrast you can be able to, you know, embrace through podcasts that you listen, the kind of people that you interact, the books that you read, the routes that you use driving to work that you use. So vary that, you know, change it. It's a practical thing to do. Don't use the same route every other day. It helps you to be able to see things differently. Entertain alternative opinions that may not necessarily be agreeable. You know, it may be a contrast that you need to be able to grow and to see something differently. And it allows you, when you upset the status quo, that's when you become creative.
Awesome. I'm always surprised by the answers that people give to this question, because there are so many ways to look at it and so many different ways to be creative. And yeah. I love each and every one of them, because it's
absolutely,
it's the one that works for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you look at it, it's what comes on the spur of the moment, and what we experience, in our journey. Because I mean, and it keeps changing, it keeps evolving. What has worked now may not necessarily be what will work tomorrow. Because again, you know, if creativity is too routinized, it kind of dies. You know, if it becomes too much of a routine, then you kill that creative spirit, because, you know, it's all about what we call with Janice, letting your soul breathe is what creativity is, how we define creativity. Let your soul breathe, create. So, yeah.
Well, this has been fantastic talking to you, Tim. You have a lot of great insights on creativity and empowering and enabling people. Where can people find out?
Thank you.
Or keep up to date with you and just figure out what you're doing in the future?
On a personal level, I think timitude.com is where I probably post, you know, some of my thinking. On a community and creativity point of view, creativemondays.net is the platform to go to. And every week, consistently on Mondays, particularly, my hashtag, the hashtag Creative Mondays. My handle is @timitude, so we can interact there anytime. And of course, my email as well, which is available, noxins@gmail.com is what I use generally. But I think across this, and then of course, every other week with Janice, listen up to, our thoughts and ideas, and probably the guests that we bring on board, on middleofnowhereshow.com. So those are really the places. I mean, we say with Janice, we are everywhere. You can find us everywhere. So it's easy to find me on any of these channels. Yeah.
Cool. This thought just came to me, but I love the idea of Mondays, because most people think of Mondays as just like, I got to get back to work.
Yeah.
Having a hashtag, it should brighten some people's days up, which I'll be looking for.
Absolutely. And it actually does a big way, because I tell people that Monday is my Friday. I actually look forward to Mondays, because it's this wonderful blitz of, you know, interaction that you have with people from all around the world, and it's like a movement. And if you feel that your Monday is blue, we can brighten it, you know, make it bright orange. Join us on Monday. We make it happen. So you don't need to have a dull Monday. So it's, yeah, it's really, really cool.
Well, thanks again for coming on. We should definitely talk again in the future.
Absolutely. And Kevin, just, you know, as we get to, obviously, probably as you do the wrap up, shortly, I want to thank you for, you know, allowing me to come on the show. I know I always claim that I'm the one who is in the middle of nowhere, because I think, you know, we are a little bit far off from where you are from a physical point of view. But I think in terms of energy and what we're about, I think we connect. And I want to, again, just salute and commend what you're doing, because it's about helping others from on the marketing front and with their art, and what you do is really absolutely cool, and as well great content on your platform, and I intend to make sure that I have some just to, you know, to inspire me as I drive around town and help me be more creative. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I guess we'll speak again soon.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, bye.
Okay, thank you.
And that's it for the 37th episode of Cracking Creativity. For show notes, go to crackingcreativity.org/37. If you like this episode, subscribe to the show on iTunes at crackingcreativity.org/subscribe. Also, feel free to write a review or leave me a comment about the show. Hope this stoked your career fires, and I'll see you next time on Cracking Creativity.